Welcome back to Vertical View. I'm your host, Chris Williams. In this episode, I will introduce to you to my bosses, the owners of Vertical Engineering, Andrew Hobson and Joey Goldsmith. As you know from the last episode, I serve as VE's Executive Director. In this episode of Vertical View, I want to highlight the company, give you some background on the owners, and then we will hear from Andrew and Joey personally. So if you're ready, I know I am, let's get vertical. You're back with Chris on the Vertical View. And in this segment, I want to lay some groundwork about Vertical Engineering. VE is a family-owned, locally-based company, and they service clients in the Southeast, with numerous clients located in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North and South Carolina. With over 20 years of experience in ropes course and zip line creation, VE is passionate about designing and constructing the course or facility of your dreams. Vertical Engineering also provides ongoing support following the construction by offering annual inspections for your ropes course and or zip line. VE provides their clients with a digital report complete with a photo documentation and gets that to the client within 72 hours. Finally, VE and their staff will elevate your team to new heights with team building or VE experiences. They create transformational thinking and reflective learning environments that will broaden your participants' world. Truly, the sky is the limit with Vertical Engineering. You can find out more at theveteam.com. Before we get to the interview with Andrew and Joey, we asked them to tell us a little bit about themselves in a segment we're going to call 5 Bullet Points or Less. First, let's start with Andrew Hobson. Andrew says that he's an avid runner who loves to travel, especially into rural places, and observe local traditions. His undergraduate degree from Houghton College and a master's in youth development leadership from Clemson University. Andrew appreciates good writing, photography, and artwork of all kinds. He has cycled toward a 30,000 mile trek. Yes, 30,000. And he's now entering a new life adventure with his soon-to-be wedding to his fiancée, Gretchen. That's Andrew Hobson. Joey Goldsmith, the other owner of Vertical Engineering, starts with his 5 points, stating that he enjoys spending time with his lovely wife, Jen, and 3 children. He's an avid outdoorsman who enjoys hunting and fishing. He enjoys listening to music, playing drums, and the guitar. Joey is a graduate from North Greenville University with a degree in Christian studies. And Joey is a licensed residential home builder. So there you have it. Joey Goldsmith, Andrew Hobson, 5 points with the Vertical Engineering guys. So now we head to the final segment where we will hear directly from the VE guys themselves. Welcome back to Vertical View. And now we're jumping into the segment where we actually talk to the guys from Vertical Engineering on the line with me, doing their best social distancing, are the owners of Vertical Engineering, Joey Goldsmith and Andrew Hobson. Hey guys, how are we doing?
Doing great.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well. I've got a half a cup of coffee in me. So after the show, we'll do cup number 2 and I'll be doing great. So we've already talked a little bit about Vertical Engineering, the company. And then the segment just before this, we talked to the listeners using a new game called five bullet points or less. So now we really want to talk to you guys and hear from you. So we're going to go through a series of questions, and we're going to start with this one. Give us your best elevator speech. So we're starting on floor one, and we're going to floor three. So you only have two and a little bit to answer the question. What's your best elevator speech? Ready, set, go, Andrew.
I would say at Vertical Engineering, we build experiences. The VE team builds experiences in several ways, beginning with the interaction with our clients. We're small, family-owned, and we're very much in touch with where we came from.
Ding! That's floor two, so we're going to floor three now.
Our approach to work always keeps relationships at the core. We know that when we begin to work with a new client, the odds are good that we're going to work together for years. Consulting first, building the course, designing and delivering a training program for their staff, inspecting the course and operating procedures every year. And then, you know, over time, adding or modifying the course as the years go by. Every single site's needs are unique, and we always bring creativity, energy, and passion for human development to every client that we serve.
Well, that's great. I think we made it to floor five. Which is okay. It's okay. But Joey, as we go back down, anything you would add to the elevator speech? So I got off at five. Now I'm getting back on to go back down. What do you got?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I would echo in that is the partnership and the client-based model that we employ. We don't sell people things they don't need. I think our greatest gift is understanding what people want to see and want to use and giving them the best version of that, whether it's a simpler version that's easier to use and easier to build, or if it's more complicated. But I think that we always take the client-based model and put the client first and give them the thing they need. We give them the what they need rather than what we want them to have or what we want to sell them.
Yeah, I love that. And as I've come on to be part of the Vertical Engineering team, I've had a ton of people just ask me, so what is it that VE or Vertical Engineering does? And I'm sure your parents probably get those questions too. So what do your parents say to their friends when they describe what you guys do for a living? Joey?
We build zip lines.
Very good. They're very concise, I see.
Yeah. We build zip lines and we play around in trees.
I'll second that. You guys really do play around in trees. When I'm watching you, I just think, man, that's nuts.
Well, it is part of it, but it's so funny how things can get pared down and simplified. My mom would be sure, as Andrews would as well, would be sure to mention how dangerous our job is. Of course, as moms do. But as in the elevator speech you heard, we do so much more. But I think it just, unless you're in it every day, it's hard to see it. But yeah, it's fun and it's playing and there's very little mention of the work aspect.
Right, Andrew, so what do your parents say you do for a living?
Well, I don't know, because when they talk about it, I'm not there.
Well played.
If I had to guess, I think that the thing that would probably come through in imagining what they would say is that we do great work in the adventure course world and that they're really proud of what we do. And then they'd get out pictures, you know, because I think our work is more than most types of work. It's a it's a picture perfect explanation that really can show people what we do. It never has an image been worth a thousand words more true than in our work.
Yeah, that's excellent. And that actually wraps up that piece really, really well. And mm-hmm. it walks us into this COVID-19 pandemic and really the pictures that you see on social media with people from social distancing to the mask. What are some things that you're talking with your clients about right now in regards to adventure programming for the campers, sanitation of gear? What advice are you giving to camps, clients, people in the industry right now?
Andrew, you want to take a swing at that one first?
Sure. I think that it's something that our industry pretty intuitively already gets right. One of the things that's core to what people have to do in our world is keep things clean. And the nature of our work often, particularly in the high course setting, has distancing in place. I mean, it's kind of how it plays out in real time on a course, that people are a suitable distance, kind of figuring out their own thing. So that already works well. And the other thing that we're seeing consistently right now with our clients is that they're pushing the schedule forward. So, you know, rather than a June 1 or a June 15 start date, we're kind of seeing that getting pushed forward a month. And so as a services provider, we're accommodating that by pushing our training schedule forward as well, to support them, but to just give it that little bit more time to run its course and so we can get to a safe place before we program.
Joe, anything that you would add in that area?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of it is just, like he was saying, adjusting the schedule. Adjusting the schedule is a great tactic to getting through this. Adjusting programming, I think, will be a little more difficult, you know, when you start camp. And I talked to a camp director yesterday, and we talked through, you know, not being able to do the canopy tour because you're going to have 10 people on a 8x8 platform. I think what it may do is change the amount of adventure stuff you do, but I think it's going to change the amount of actual scheduled program time. And it might I think it's going to lend itself more toward leisure, unstructured time at camp. Whether, you know, overall, which I think is a good thing. I think that maybe getting away from having every minute and getting back to, you know, letting the kiddos have more free time and leisure time and doing things that fit into the social distance model. I think that's better, especially like we talked through harnesses, you know, having enough gear for every kid is hard for a camp. You know, you can't just hand them out when they come in on Sunday and have every, you know, a harness for all 300 kids. But I think that doing less and doing it better, and, you know, sanitizing the harnesses and the helmets and the things that are, you know, those items that need to be sanitized if they're going to do that, washed and dried in between usage, you know, maybe you do less of your high adventure stuff, but you do it better, and focus on it more.
Yeah, that's good. I think in these days of uncertainty and rapid change, it seems as though things change every day. And I don't think we're done with that yet. I think you're right, Joey and Andrew, that things will just change in the industry. And some of it's actually going to be better. And like you said, maybe the more the intimacy and the smaller groups even will be something that's a benefit to all of us. So let's transition into this next question. And I'm actually going to jump to to what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career so many years ago? What's that one thing that you wish you would have known?
Joey, I'm dying to hear your answer on this one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think just knowing that the industry was out there, you know, I mean, you had where I grew up, there's adventure stuff everywhere. There's outdoor, you know, there's hiking, mountain climbing, you know, rock climbing, there's kayaking, there's all that stuff. But knowing that you could actually, it would have been nice. But, you know, I don't know. I think if I'd known that, I would have approached it differently. And I don't think I would have gotten to where I am without the experiences I did have and going the route that I did to get here. I think that I might not have the same, obviously I wouldn't have the same skill sets, but I wouldn't have the same experiences that keep me grounded where I am. But yeah, knowing that you could make a living at it would have been nice early on.
Andrew, what would you add to that as some things you wish you would have known?
I think I wish I would have known that the feeling of accomplishment, as great as it is at the completion of a phase, whether that's a training or a build, that is temporary. That's a temporary experience. That might be a little bit philosophical, and I'm sorry, but I think there were days.
No, you're not.
There still are plenty of days where, you know, I think I'm going to feel fulfilled in work, and I do, but it's always temporary. And then there's like a reset, and it's almost like that. There's just a fire that, like, we have to go prove it again. You know, if we had a great day of training, we wake up and we've got to go do it again. I didn't know that. And there's still a lot of days I don't know that. I think I'm going to be fulfilled, and I never quite am. I got to do it again.
You know, one of the things, Andrew, I asked my dad when I turned 30, I was like, you know, I've learned so much through the experiences from the time I was 20 to the time I was 30. And I asked him, I was like, you know, what do I need to learn by the time I'm 40? Like, how do I get a jump on that? And you know, it was a moment of awareness, like you're talking about. Like, you come to an awareness of there's more out there, and how do I get it? You know, how do I get to that next step? And I mean, he was just like, well, you just got to live it. You just got to go that one day at a time, and you have to go through that experience of, that was an accomplishment, and now I move to the next thing. It's really cool you'd put it that way.
So I think that's a great segue, and it leads us into the last question. What advice would you give a person seeking to enter the adventure industry? And you brought up age. I'm at 50, and I'm almost over the hill. And so I'm sitting here looking back. What are the things that, and maybe you've already talked about it, but what are the pieces of advice that you'd give that 17, 18, 20 year old that's coming out of school looking to get into their first gig, and maybe it's the adventure industry? What advice would you give them?
I would give the piece of advice that I hope I give every time we train a young staff. And that is really simple. One sentence. It's not about you. It is about your end user, and if you're a service oriented person, which every person in our industry needs to be successful, you have to remember that you aren't supposed to be the spotlight. And as a facilitator, it's antithetical to think that you're the center of attention. You have to take that off yourself, and you have to put the light back on your participants and make them the most important person there. And we always say that when we're talking about tying someone in or clipping someone in, but it's really true. So just in a word, it's not about you.
Yeah, I was right on track with you, Andrew. I think the best piece of advice or the best description of that I ever got was the biggest compliment that can be paid to you as a facilitator is that the group or person accomplishes the task. They feel this sense of, victory in that and the all that goes with it, and they forget your name.
I love that. And I just, as a side note and something to finish up our segment here, it's just, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to join this team. So to watch guys, to watch you work, to put in the time and the intimacy, but two, the ability to build something that is a dream to somebody and to make it even better than what they dreamed is unbelievable. But the last piece, and I think it goes all the way back to the first question, the elevator speech, is that then you've really created a relationship for a lifetime. And you've done it with your hands. You've done it with the skills that you've acquired over the years. And when you deliver, you don't just deliver something that's built in the forest or on a pole. You've built something between people. And ultimately, that's what's going to last. And I appreciate that about you both. I appreciate that about Vertical Engineering and what VE stands for. And I appreciate your time today. Is there anything that you would, just one last thing you're itching to tell the listeners today about yourself or about VE? If there is, what is it? I know, Joe, you got something that you want to say.
Oh, there's so much.
Try to boil it down to the last 15 seconds. So what do you got?
Yeah, no, I really we've got this, there's always something like this pandemic that we're dealing with. There's always a pandemic, or there's always a global markets. There's always the stock market doing something. There's always trouble. But, these camps and these adventure programs that we're a part of and partnered with, those are consistent too. And I think that they keep having people come in and giving experiences. And it's fun to be a part of that. It's fun to be a part of that cycle every year of bringing these campers in and seeing kiddos enjoy that, the equipment, but enjoy each other and enjoy the facilitation. It's really rewarding.
Well, that's the VE, guys. If you'd like to learn more about VE, Andrew, and or Joey, visit them at theveteam.com. We've reached the end of another episode of Vertical View. I want to thank my guests, the owners of Vertical Engineering, Andrew Hobson and Joey Goldsmith, for joining us today. If you love Vertical View, I'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give us reviews on Spotify, Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, or any of the platforms where you find your podcasts. Also, for more information about me, go to Twitter and find me at VE_executive. Until next time, I'll see you at the Vertical View.